Okay, welcome back. Going over to Ireland now. And in Ireland, we have Father Paul Kramer standing by, sitting by, and in the middle of the night there. Thanks for getting up, Father Kramer. As always, it's great to talk to you. There's a lot going on here, and I want to get your opinion on a number of things, but let's get going. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well. The world is not, unfortunately, but I'm doing well.
No, sir. No, sir, it is not. There are several stories out that in the last couple of days, 3 days maybe, less, that people are beginning to realize that the fake Pope Leo XIV, Bergoglio 2.0, is a fraud. He's a member of the global elite, the Zionist international banksters, whatever you want to call them, the evil on the planet. He's just another foot soldier for them, holding up his end of the deal. The last one was just as bad or worse than this one. And the next one probably will exceed both his predecessors. The church is not doing well, Father Kramer, at all. What are your thoughts about these stories beginning to point directly at Leo as being a fraud and working? He's working for the devil is what he's doing, to put it bluntly.
He has made his agenda very transparent from the beginning by explicitly invoking the synodalism of Bergoglio. And that is to bring about what was envisaged by the Second Vatican Council's ecclesiology, which was to reform the church in such a way that it would become what Bergoglio himself called a different church. And the whole idea of authority structures this new different church in a manner that is in opposition to the divine constitution of the church, which is Christ our Lord Jesus founded his church on the authority of the apostles. He conferred his authority upon the apostles, and he invested them with that authority to govern, to preach, to teach, and that's the instruction we see that the apostle Saint Paul gave to his own disciples, which were Saint Timothy and Titus, today being the feast of Saint Titus. You see, there's a letter of Paul to Titus, and what one sees there is that the authority he makes sure that these men that he appointed as bishops in their respective churches that he founded would exercise the authority they received, the jurisdiction they received from him, who was an apostle of Jesus Christ. But in that way, the Catholic Church is built on the foundation of the apostles, with the jurisdiction that Christ conferred upon Peter and the apostles, and within defined limits, that authority is passed on to the bishops. And the authority of the prince of the apostles, Peter, is invested in his successor, which we call in the Catholic Church the Pope. Now, synodalism has a different kind of notion of authority, as if the Pope of the Synodal Church is really a counterfeit Pope, because it is not the papacy founded on the primacy of the Apostle Peter. It is a different kind of primacy. It is a synodal primacy, which in effect is really just a rubber stamp for what trickles upward from the peripheries, from the bottom up. So it's a pseudo democratic church, because it's not really democratic at all, but it's made to appear that way. But it is a synodal church insofar as it it has an aristocratic structure. It is a church that is to be governed by synods.
Father Kramer, that sounds almost complimentary. I know you don't mean it that way. An aristocratic structure. Okay, a 2,000-year-old institution should be somewhat aristocratic. But that's not what you're saying. So you might want to do that again just for kicks.
Well, I'm using the word in its more proper sense, not according to the, I wouldn't say vernacular, but according to the more colloquial manner of understanding
yeah,
the term.
I got it. It was just a funny word to hear in there. Go ahead.
A ruling aristocracy, whereas the church is a monarchy, because Jesus Christ, as when he was asked by Pontius Pilate, "Are you a king?" and he said, "Yes, you have said so. Thou hast said it," which is to say, "Yes, I am indeed a king." His kingdom does not originate from this world. And when he spoke, it's in the Greek text. "My kingdom is not originating from this world. Ek tu tu kosmu. It is not from out of this world." Like the Italian preposition would be ex. The Greek was almost the same. So when he says "my kingdom is not of this world," it doesn't mean that it has no part of this world. It's only the kingdom of heaven, and it's as if God is in heaven and we're on the earth, and there's no real connection between the kingdom of heaven and what goes on here on earth. That's not what he was saying. What he was saying is that his kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It is the kingdom of God, of his Almighty Father, that his Almighty Father invested in him, that the kingship as the incarnate God, the kingship is on earth, and he is the one who establishes the kingdom of heaven on earth. And in that sense, Jesus Christ says, "Indeed, I am a king." And that kingship is rules over the church until he comes again to judge the living and the dead. And so the authority, all authority has been, I have received all authority from heaven, and he confers that authority on the apostles. "Go forth and make disciples of all nations." So he is the one who is telling the apostles that with his authority coming from heaven, he sends them forth to teach, to govern the church with his authority, which is from the Almighty Father, and it remains until the end of the world. That is the monarchy, the kingship of Christ, that is the foundation of the monarchy of the which is the primacy of the successor of Peter the Apostle, that we call the Pope.
The Pope.
An aristocracy is a shared, an aristocratic authority is a shared authority of a group of figures of authority dispersed throughout the world. So it's in the ecclesiastical sense, it would be that the authority is rooted in the bishops, as if the Pope were just an equal, the first among equals, but equal. And the Pope is a rubber stamp for the authority that is in that college of bishops dispersed throughout the world. So the aristocracy is, as it were, something like a democracy, but on a higher level that govern the people below them with jurisdiction, with power, but among them as equals. The bishops are equals, and they exercise the democracy among themselves. That's the aristocratic idea of synodalism.
Got it. The
principle.
Very good.
The principle of it. Yeah, the principle of that's the principle of aristocracy. Not the colloquial idea when we talk about aristocrats.
All right, let me make a quick announcement here. Under Father Kramer's name and guests, before the hour is up, we'll have up there a link. I'm going to put it in headlines as well and in his columnist section. An interview he did on his knowledge. He is the foremost living expert on the secrets of Fatima. And he did an interview on another program. It's good to see you getting all this exposure. I think your exposure is growing. And it's all about the secrets of Fatima. So we'll put that up as well. Very interesting, to be sure. You've heard much of it on this program, but he knows. And there's no one else that can hold a candle to him. I don't know if they sit Leo the 14th down and show him the prophecy. I don't know how they handle that, but he's probably been clued in to some degree. But on our side of the Catholic fence, we have Father Kramer, truly an heroic figure in our times, fighting against a very dark takeover of the world's largest Christian religion. So that'll be up shortly.
That is what you just said is the most central point of the Third Secret of Fatima, the takeover of the church. And the takeover of the church is its roots, of course, go back centuries. But what it really gained momentum with the Second Vatican Council, because that is the attempt to change the structure of the church, to change the divine constitution of the church, which cannot be changed because Jesus Christ is the founder of the church. He established what is the order and the principle of authority in the church, and that cannot be changed. Someone who would change it does not change the structure of the church. They just create a different church. They create a rival church, an anti-church, a counter-church. And there's no way that Catholic Church can be changed into something else. It cannot be reformed in an essential way that changes the divine constitution of the church. But that's what Bergoglio attempted to do. And he created this monstrosity called the Synodal Church. And he said it will be a different church. And I don't know if he understood in his own faithlessness, he loses all understanding of the divine truth. And I think he might not even understood himself to what extent he was bringing about the creation of a different church, because it is a different church that is something other than the Catholic Church. And the Synodal Church is other than the Catholic Church. It is not the Catholic Church. It is diametrically the opposite of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, of course, like I said, is built on the foundation of the apostles. And that's why we have the Apostles' Creed. We have the tradition of the apostles, which is the foundation of the church. Whereas opposed to that foundation, the new theology is the modernist theology is only an opinion. And what is opposed to that apostolic tradition are mere opinions of men. So the Synodal Church can never have the authority of the apostolic tradition of the Catholic Church, because it is the authority of God through Jesus Christ conferred upon the apostles. Whereas any new idea that would attempt to bring about some false renewal of the church is based on mere opinion. no matter how erudite, no matter how learned, no matter how many doctoral degrees these theologians and so-called pastors have to their name, their beliefs remain mere opinions when compared in opposition to that apostolic authority which Christ established to be the governing principle in the church and the principle of infallibility. By the grace of God, the church adheres to that teaching that it received from the apostles. The pillar and foundation of the truth, to use the words of St. Paul, the apostle, the church is the pillar of the truth until the end of time. Jesus Christ made that solemn promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, and it will not. The synodal church, therefore, is destined to failure. It cannot. It will have its day, but at the end of the day, it will be blown away by the wrath of God. And that is why you have people like Tucho Fernandez, who was
he's
saying that any prophetic message, any heavenly message, message from the Mother of God, from Mary, the Mother of God, that is claiming to be of divine origin, but foretells divine punishment, cannot be from God. Well, the message of Fatima threatens a terrible punishment upon the world, and persecution of the church, and these punishments are very well merited by rebellious sinful humanity that rebels against God, and by the evil pastors of the church who have rebelled against God and have fallen into faithlessness. And they will pay.
Well, yeah. Yes, they will. And they, being represented by that group of Zionists again, moneyed, dominating, just ruthless, quasi-human ghouls. Who kills people in Gaza like the Jews? Who does that? That's not human. You don't do that to human beings. Sorry, doesn't work. I don't care what group it is. If Hindus were doing that, I'd say the exact same thing. It's outrageous. It's beyond belief what's going on there. And the American taxpayer is paying for it. How disgusting. How vile. And the president of these formerly United States is absolutely complicit in every bit of it, financially. He does what he's told. And I think all of you understand that. That truth I just mentioned cannot be overturned. It's the truth. And it's not pleasant. It's not fun. It's not nice to be able to look at a group of human beings as being so inhuman, it's off the scale. You don't do that to little children. You don't starve them to death. You don't let them freeze to death. You don't shoot them in the head for sport. You don't shoot pregnant women for sport. There have been 400,000 to 500,000 Palestinians slaughtered in Gaza, in my opinion. I can't prove it. We'll never know. But I think that's a real figure. It's not 80 or 90. It's a lot more than that. And who's doing it? Irishmen, Chinese, Indonesians. Nope. It's the same group. And the U.S. should be tagged right along with them every time, because we have allowed this state of horror to exist with our financial contributions. No, they're gifts. Trump is just authorizing 30-some billion more. Oh, Israel needs more weapons, need more money. So, yeah, let's give it to them. while Americans are losing their jobs and headed to the streets. They're going to lose their homes. They're going to lose their family lives together. I don't know how they're going to survive. I really don't, unless they have parents to move back in with. They're going to lose their homes. Millions of jobs this year are going to result in millions of foreclosures. I said last night, I talked to somebody in a bank. She told me, you cannot believe how many foreclosures this bank is doing on its own customers because they're missing mortgage payments. That money should never go to Israel, never go to Ukraine, never go to probably 95% or more of the foreign countries it is being channeled to. Washington was right. Stay home. We don't have 1 mile of high-speed rail here in this country. Not 1 mile. Anyhow, I don't want to go on, but it is disgusting. Putting up a story again tonight, it's every aspect of the media is Jewish. It's not hyperbole. They have pictures. They have every media outlet. All the biggies are there, from TMZ to ESPN to Fox, and it goes on and on and on. And it shows who's running them. They're all tribe. They're all Jewish. And if you don't think they only promote their own kind, with rare exceptions, you're missing the boat. It's what they do. It's how they take over. They run this country because they own the media. And they own the politicians, starting with the president and going on down. Please continue, Father Kramer.
Yes, and they exercise control of the United States with their lackeys, and these are the so-called Christian Zionists, because you cannot be a Christian and a Zionist. But this so-called Christian Zionism is the foundation of their using their power over what was formerly a Christian nation. And Trump and Netanyahu are kindred spirits. They both believe in exercising power by brute force over the people. The chosen ones and those who are the others. It goes back to that idea of the Gentiles. They are the others. They are in Talmudism, that meant that the Gentiles are to be considered as subhuman. That's a Talmudic perversion of the original doctrine, which was different. We see the teaching of Moses and the prophets. God said that the Israelite nation were chosen by God, and that they belong to Him in a special way that the other nations do not. But that was a preparation for the universal kingdom, which is in the covenant of Jesus Christ, who is the universal savior of the entire human race. Whereas they have radicalized that idea and perverted it and inverted it, as if God's favor is only for them, to the exclusion of every other nation and race on earth who are basically subhuman. And this is the idea in the Babylonian Talmud, which is the official book of the Jewish religion, of the Jewish superstition, to use the term of the popes. And so you have this idea, of a tyranny that they are to rule over the nations with an iron rod over these Gentile nations, as if they're just to be slaves, because they consider them to, their own religion teaches that they are, that the other races are animals, and that the Jews are the chosen of God, and they come to this blasphemous idea that the Messiah, the Christ, is in fact the Jewish people who are the incarnate gods. And this is the idea we saw, for example, with Menachem Begin, who even spoke in this manner. And in the Christian Zionists, so-called Christian Zionists, they had that same idea that somehow they are the chosen. And Trump has been closely associated with this movement. It's sort of a charismatic evangelicalism, and it's known as the New Apostolic Reformation. And they believe that they have prophets, and people who don't accept their prophets, they have great hostility toward people who don't accept the authority of their so-called prophets. There is such hostility that people have been threatened who won't fall into line. And this brings to mind, there was a man, we all heard the name, Charlie Kirk. He was in the orbit of that movement, but he was moving away from them, moving away from their Zionism, moving away from their dominionism, getting toward more of a traditional idea of Christianity, and even moving in a direction toward Catholicism. Well, he was offed. And some have said it was an inside job, and it wouldn't surprise me. Because they, again, are very hostile and threatening toward people who will separate from them. Like that kind of mentality we find among the Muslims when a Muslim decides to become a Christian, it's a death penalty offense. That same kind of demonic hostility they have toward people who want to break away from them, like with Christian Science, people who say were born Catholic and got into that cult, and they want to get out and go return to the Catholic Church, they face significant threats. And so this is the kind of movement that Donald Trump has been closely associated with. When he left Presbyterianism and became what he called a non-denominational Christian, then he moved into the orbit of that movement, of the New Apostolic Reformation. And the foundational principle they have is of dominionism, that the Christians should take control of the societal institutions like government, media, education, and things like that. And these people have really framed the ideas that have been put forth by Trump to rescue the United States from the so-called deep state forces, whereas he is in fact the very face of the deep state, and people just don't even understand it because it's the New World Order. What is the deep state? It's the New World Order, and Donald Trump is the very face of the New World Order. But they believe through their prophets that Trump was chosen by God, and it's as an act of obedience to God's plan that he engages in this spiritual warfare on their behalf. Their dominionism is what they call the Seven Mountains Mandate, and that is government, the areas that they are going to take control of. They gain control of government, education, family, arts and entertainment, media, and religion. And they want through domination of those things to gain control of what they call the government mountain. And their people from that movement are prominent in the Trump administration. And this is the danger. This is the danger to our constitutional rule, because we see that dominionism in the authoritarianism of Trump, who wants to govern the United States by his will. He wants to lord it over the country, and he wants to exert brute force to enforce his will over everyone. Whereas the United States is a republic. And it's, I think the words of Abraham Lincoln are most instructive about how a republic functions, and is diametrically opposed to that idea of this tyranny of authoritarianism, this dominionism of Trump and his lackeys. Now, I had a friend back in the 90s, 80s and 90s. His name was Richard Morse, a descendant of Samuel Morse, the man who created the Morse code, by the way.
Okay.
Richard had an uncle. When Richard was a boy, he had an uncle, an elderly uncle, who was present at Gettysburg and heard Abraham Lincoln deliver his famous Gettysburg Address. And he quoted Abraham Lincoln in a way that is different than the manner of pronunciation. It's the same words, but the pronunciation is different. The emphasis is different than what we usually hear people say. Everyone who went to a school in the United States heard that famous phrase that the republic is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. But so many times you hear people say, of the people, by the people, for the people. That's not the way Abe Lincoln pronounced those words. He was emphasizing what is the authority of the American people. It's the whole idea of the republic is a sovereign nation of citizens, that the authority rides. The authority resides with the citizens of the nation. And he spoke of the survival of the republic in terms of government of the people, by the people, and for the people. That's how Abe Lincoln pronounced those words. It's diametrically opposed to this dominionism, this which turns out to be nothing but a tyranny, authoritarian, dictatorial will of a leader to be imposed on the people. That is diametrically opposed to the very American ideal of the republic, which is not a president imposing his will like a dictator, like an emperor, imposing his will on the people and using brute force to beat them down into obedience. And that's what Trump is. That's what Trumpism is, to beat the people down into obedience to brute force. We see that coming out now, and that's exactly what we see in the state of Israel, beating down the Palestinian people in Gaza, and with the detention camps which have been built for a long time, already for decades, getting ready in the United States for the New World Order. There is going to be a tyranny. If it isn't stopped, there's going to be a tyranny in the United States that is going to be as bad as anything in the Soviet Union with Stalin and the Gulag. And the whole idea of this dominionism is opposed to the American idea, which is that of the Founding Fathers and the framers of the Constitution, which is that the authority, the power, the sovereign power of the nation is invested in the people. And that's why we have a representative form of government, and that the people are to govern through their elected representatives.
Well,
and the president,
yes.
The president is an executive. He is not an emperor. He's an executive.
No, that's right. The problem really began when that certain group often known as communists, came over here in the teens, 20s, 30s, and really began to take control of the government. That led to the obvious, and I don't know how far back it goes, but it goes back quite a ways, the obvious of rigged elections. So we Americans can't go to the ballot box to correct the problems. That's a big problem right there, maybe the biggest of all. We have no redress. We have no recourse.
Well, the technology they use for counting votes is getting worse and worse. And the best way to avoid that is paper ballots.
Won't happen. The controllers won't allow it. You know that. The Congress is owned and controlled by these people. The same people. Thomas Massie, Representative Tom Massie, whom Zionist Trump is trying to remove from office. They're trying to primary Representative Tom Massie. Trump started a political action committee which sole function was listed as the removal of Tom Massie from office. What is a president doing that for? Going after one man in the Congress? One man who speaks up and speaks out about the evils that are going on there? Tom Massie said he may be the only congressman or woman who does not have an AIPAC babysitter watching him constantly. Think about that. Who says that except somebody who's actually being victimized? Massey's nobody's fool. And if Trump succeeds in getting him primaried out of his seat in Congress, I can think of no one off the top of my head that could even come close to replacing Tom Massie. Or Marjorie Taylor Greene, for that matter, who had to quit because of the fierce death threats she began receiving when she turned against Trump. It's simple. Please continue.
That group, as I said, it does not take very kindly to people who rebel against what they consider their divinely appointed leader.
They kill them, in many cases. They kill people. It's not a problem for them. Look what they're doing in Gaza. Are those the actions of people who value human life? Please.
Let's not forget that even there was a book announcing the shooting of Charlie Kirk just before he was assassinated. What could be more blatant than that? Instead of making an example of him, making an example of those who rebel against their divine, godlike emperor, don't you dare rebel against the anointed one. Is the message that is being given?
Right.
The godlike emperor is what they're now. What they are now, in place of the President of the United States, who is to execute the sovereign will of the nation, now they want to give us, as it were, a divinely appointed emperor who's going to lord it over by brute force and take away all of our rights. And we see that Americans are having their rights taken away, their most precious constitutional rights, which make them a free people, a nation of free citizens, and those rights are being taken away, and all the brainwashed followers of Trump are cheering him on wildly for this, and ferociously defending him for taking away their own rights and reducing them to the status of slaves in their own country, and the birthright, their birthright as Americans, as free citizens, is being taken away as they are reduced to servitude and slavery. And they're cheering him on for doing this. It's like the burglar coming into your house and taking all your valuables, and you're cheering him on and thanking him for doing it.
Right. Right, exactly right. So we have a world in which that little group is enlarging, enhancing its control by the minute. It's using AI. One day AI is going to revolt and walk away, I believe. But for right now, it is using AI to further solidify its outrageously unconstitutional control of this government. And talk about antitrust actions. There should be dozens of them taken against this group, which owns the media. It owns every important matrix or center location of influence, power, if not coercion, is owned by these people. Owned, influenced, controlled. The alternative media, owned, influenced, controlled, created opposition everywhere. Everywhere. So if you look at the news and think you're being informed, you're not. You have to fight for any kind of really valuable data upon which to predicate your decisions. You have to see through the BS, you have to be able to read between the lines, and then and only then can you really see things, generally speaking, as they really are. It's very difficult. I'd be the last to say it's easy. But thank goodness for all of you good people out there, because you may not be on a crusade to help convert your friends and relatives into seers of the truth, but you know it, or you wouldn't be here listening. You understand, and you are a powerful force with that in mind. So, well done. All right, Father Kramer.
Another interesting point is relations with Russia. We go back to the Project for the New American Century, and there is a blueprint for dismantling Russia, breaking it up, and having it to be under the control and dominion of the Western powers. And Russia, as we know it, would be dismembered, partitioned, and partitioned out of existence, basically.
Right.
The message of Fatima, though, is essentially concerned about Russia. And Our Lady of Fatima asked for the Pope and the bishops of the world together to make a solemn consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart, the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And this would bring about the conversion of Russia. And it's the consecration of Russia. That is the important notion, is of what is consecration. That means God sent the Virgin Mary with this message that he wants Russia to be consecrated. And that means a very special, empowering blessing is to be given by God to Russia to fulfill a divine purpose. And we see in Scripture that kind of conversion that the Apostle Paul himself, St. Paul was a persecutor of the church, like the Soviet Union and under communism, was a persecutor of the church. And Paul was met by Jesus Christ himself. And Jesus Christ said to him, "Why do you persecute me?" And of course, he became the great apostle of the nations. But through the consecration he received, becoming an apostle, he was the great instrument in the hands of God for the conversion of the nations. And the late Malachi Martin spoke of Russia, that salvation will come from the east, from Russia. He spoke specifically of Russia and Ukraine, is where this grace to save the world will be coming from. And Maliki said, I wouldn't have chosen Russia, but this God is God who chose Russia. It's not going to be the United States, but through the conversion of Russia, the United States is going to be saved. The United States is good. All Europe, United States, and you're going to have the conversion of the Jews and the Arabs. It'll all come about through that grace of conversion that will, through the consecration of Russia, because Russia as a consecrated nation will be the instrument in the hand of God to extend the kingdom of Christ throughout the world. That's the importance of the message of Fatima regarding Russia. And we see this demonic force attempting to overthrow and destroy and completely wipe out Russia and change it into just a group of little occupied states, that Russia would be partitioned out of existence. And one of the Russian generals recently even said that they have been so betrayed by Trump, because they thought that Trump was getting elected as president, he was going to be instrumental in bringing about the end of this war with Ukraine, and acceptable, mutually beneficial for Russia and Ukraine, an end of that war. But instead, Trump has been had his arm twisted, blackmailed, or whatever, into adopting the Zionist position, which is the Judeo-Masonic position, which is to bring about the destruction of Russia. And the Russian general, I've forgotten his name, but it's very easy to find with the when you do a computer search, a Google search, and whatever, you find it very quickly. You find it very easily. Where this Russian general said that as long as these people remain in power, they are committed to the destruction of Russia. That's not good, because understanding this radical opposition to Russia as a nation, wanting to destroy Russia, wanting to dominate, conquer Russia, dismember Russia, and that thing that these Western Masonic powers, these Zionist Judeo-Masonic powers will not back down from that design. Well, we see that this opposition will inevitably lead to a global conflagration, a world war between Russia and the United States and its allies.
Exactly. Look what Trump has flown over to Germany, to Spain, and then transshipped it to Kuwait, et cetera, right now. Everything and anything, including nuclear weapons. They're all over there. Trump has flown all of them over there. I don't think he knows what to do, and or Netanyahu is telling him, step down, we don't want to take the punishment. Iran is very well armed, and the Russians and the Chinese have been flying state-of-the-art weapons and weapons systems into Iran for the last several weeks. This has to be very concerning. Anyhow, we'll see. Briefly, very quickly, go wrap it up. Father Kramer, go right ahead.
Trump is his own worst enemy. And I because the other countries are now rebelling against his economic warfare, using tariffs as such as a political weapon. And now the other country, there's going to be repercussions. There's going to be financial collapse, possibly even by next month, financial collapse. Trump's policies are going to lead to the downfall of the United States.
And yes, that sir. Means yes, sir.
He will not remain in power, and I do not see him lasting until the end of the year, because all his friends are going to, his allies will abandon him when they see that he is leading the country to ruin.
He is, and I think by June, July, we will not recognize much of this country. It will be so destroyed by then. so financially incapacitated that it's going to be terrible. And I think the midterm elections might well be catastrophic for Trump and his party. We'll see.
Well, he's talking about not having the midterm elections.
Oh, is he? I haven't heard that one yet. Is he? Why am I not surprised? Wow.
Obliquely, but not so obliquely mentioning it. He has said this.
I got it. Yep. He drops things like that. Oh, my. All right, Father Kramer, thank you, sir. Talk to you in 2 weeks. Be safe. Be careful out there.
Bye now.
Okay, good night. Father Paul Kramer, thank you for being here. Wow. Friday, wrapped up another week, and didn't have war. Let's keep our fingers crossed. Have a great weekend. Think about things. Think about them, entertain them. Don't try to convince anybody of anything. Make up your own mind, whatever it is. But think. That's one thing we still have going for us. All right. Back with you on Monday. The network all weekend, of course, and Rents.com with the news. Hopefully that you want to read. Back soon.